This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health, and thank you for joining us for our daily COVID-19 case update call. I'm joined today by Kim Malsom-Risden, Secretary of Health, and Dr. Joshua Clayton, State Epidemiologist. Dr. Clayton will provide today's case update, and then we will take your questions. I'll turn it over now to Dr. Clayton.
Good morning. Today we are reporting 77 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 12 new hospitalizations, 5 new deaths, as well as 46 individuals who have newly recovered from COVID-19. Yesterday we had 1,583 new negative tests that were performed. This does bring our total for COVID-19 in the state to 4,866 cases. Of those, 1,063 are active infections, and 3,744 individuals have recovered from the virus. We have 94 individuals who are currently hospitalized, or 95, excuse me, individuals who are currently hospitalized, and we have 59 deaths in total. We have received 35,816 total negative tests that have been performed since start of COVID-19 testing. For our community impact map, we are elevating to substantial community spread both Charles Mix and Davison counties. For the new cases by county, we have 32 in Beadle, 1 in Brookings, 3 in Brown, 1 in Buffalo, 1 in Davison, 1 in Edmond, 2 in Grant, 1 in Gerald, 1 in Kingsbury, 1 in Lake, 2 in Lawrence, 3 in Meade, 12 in Minnehaha, 15 in Pennington, and 1 in Spink. For new cases by age range, we have 11 in the 0 to 19 year age category, 24 in the 20 to 29 year age category, 11 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 13 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 8 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 3 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 2 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 5 in the 80 and over category. For new cases by sex, we have 40 that are male and 37 that are female. For the new deaths that we are reporting, those 5 new deaths, we have one of those occurring in Beadle County, and 4 of those occurring in Minnehaha County residents. And the that brings our total deaths by county to 3 in Beadle, 1 in Brown, 1 in Gerald, 1 in McCook, 49 in Minnehaha, 3 in Pennington, and 1 in Todd. For deaths by age range, we have 3 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 3 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 8 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 9 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 6 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 30 in the 80 and over category. For deaths by sex, we have 27 that are male and 32 that are female. For the updates of businesses with greater than or that are having clusters of cases, we have 154 that are Demcota employees and 74 that are Jack Link's employees.
Thank you, Dr. Clayton. I will unmute the lines and we'll take your questions.
Good morning, JP at KORN Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Dr. Clayton, I see that Davison and Charles Mix counties have been elevated to substantial community spread. What kind of message would you have for folks living in those counties?
So I think it's important to remember, as we're seeing additional transmission occurring within the community, that individuals take proper precautions. This can include making sure that they're social distancing, staying 6 feet away from others when they're out and about, The encouragement for just wearing of face masks if they're out and about, getting groceries in common spaces and so on. Washing hands frequently to make sure that, you know, as you're out in common spaces, that any respiratory secretions that may have been left by the last person that touched, say, a shopping cart as an example, that you're not touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. Just that kind of general common sense in making sure that you're taking care of your general health to decrease the overall likelihood of, even after being exposed, that you would go on to develop illness.
Thank you.
Next question.
This is Angela Kennecke from Kello TV.
Go ahead, Angela.
Question mostly for Dr. Clayton, I believe. Can you explain the high number of cases, the most cases among 30 to 39-year-olds and the highest increase in cases among 20 to 29-year-olds? Why are we seeing more young people with COVID-19 in the state?
So I don't have a full explanation for, you know, the age grouping that we're seeing most impacted. It is similar to what we're seeing in other states, Minnesota and North Dakota as examples of that. I think that's, you know, maybe a little bit reflective of individuals that are going back and being social within communities and so on as we're kind of moving into that back to normal space where we, as individuals, are frequenting businesses, interacting more, that those younger populations have a potential to engage in more close contacts, but that's more hearsay than based off of fact. What I would say is that individuals do need to be cautious regardless of their age, and especially if they are in those high-risk groups, older populations and individuals with chronic medical conditions.
This is a follow-up question. Do you think that the attitude is it's less serious for people of this age? I know you mentioned there were three deaths in that 30 to 39 age group, but none in the younger age group. Do you think that because fewer people die from COVID-19 who are younger, that it's taken less seriously?
I can't speak to the population as a whole, but I think, you know, a few examples that you would have seen kind of on national news, I think there is a little bit more, a little bit less concern from individuals in those younger age ranges. But, you know, I don't think that necessarily what you're seeing on the news is always reflective of what's happened in real life as well. So I think the big thing to keep in mind is that regardless of your age, you know, really it's focused on that those individual precautions, making sure that you are not feeling that you are impervious to the infection, regardless of what age you might be, that this is something that is spread through respiratory droplets. And, you know, if you're coming into contact with somebody who's infected and spending at least 15 minutes with them within 6 feet, that you are at risk regardless of your age.
Next question.
Hey, Josh. This is Jonathan Ellis with the Argus Leader.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Thank you. You guys obviously have been doing a lot of mass testing in the last week or so. Do you have an idea, a percentage of how many of those people who tested positive or asymptomatic?
I don't have overall percentage either as part of the mass testing so I don't actually have that information readily available, and it's I have a feeling that it's going to be much higher than obviously our general population that is getting tested, because we do recommend that individuals you know, have symptoms, that really is a symptom-based criteria for medical providers to test, and that the reason that we're doing and identifying cases within the long-term care facilities that are conducting mass testing, the majority of those individuals, you know, would be asymptomatic, because they, if they were symptomatic, there's a strong likelihood that they would be tested prior to this mass testing event.
So do you have a follow-up? Do you have any kind of comment, our local Department of Health officials suggested that there may be as many as 35,000 to 40,000 people in Sioux Falls who were infected and were asymptomatic. Do you have any idea? Can you characterize what your thoughts are on that?
It's really too early to really say too much about, you know, what we think may, and the number of people that, may be infected. I think the there are, you know, some extrapolations that can be made based off of a number of tests that we've seen, but really until we have a better understanding through antibody testing, you know, those are just going to be, you know, some projections that people have. I think antibody testing, once we have a very solid idea of what that is telling us, that we'll have a better understanding of how many people in the state may have been infected.
Okay, thank you.
Next question.
Hi, Todd Epp, Kella.com News.
Go ahead, Todd.
Thanks. Just wondering how much is the state's hydrochloroquine study costing, and who is paying for that?
Todd, this is Kim Olsen-Reisden. So there's a couple of elements to that. So the drug itself has been provided to the state of South Dakota out of the federal stockpile or the federal cash, and so there is no cost for that. We are currently working on the contract terms for the cost of the clinical trial, and so we don't have the firm number on that yet. It will be based on the number of people that participate in the actual study.
Next question.
You have a cost estimate of what this might ultimately cost? Are the taxpayers on the hook for this? Is there private funding? Are the hospitals funding it? I mean, where do you think the money's going to come from to conduct this?
So the funding that we will use for the clinical trial costs will come from our federal COVID response fund.
Next question.
Yeah, JP from KORN News Radio again. Could you give us an update on the current status of the testing at nursing homes and assisted living facilities? How many you've tested as of today?
Sure. So thanks, JP, for that question. We have tested a total of 7,340 individuals. That includes residents and staff, and that includs about three-quarters of the Tier 1 individuals, with the remainder still scheduled to be completed, and about one-third of the folks in Tiers 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Next question.
Hey, this is Alex Portal with the Black Hills Pioneer.
Go ahead.
Hi. So we're in Spearfish in Lawrence County here, and we've been very fortunate. It's been a long time since we've had any confirmed cases. Now we have two. This is obviously a very big tourist time and a very big tourist area. Can you speak to, is this sort of the beginning of a second wave coming at us here? Is there something, should we be batting down the hatches, or what can you recommend that we start looking at?
So I think it's important to note that a lot of what we are you know, seeing is just increased transmission within some of these communities, you know, that is not necessarily associated with tourism. I think that, you know, that's something that we do need to be aware of, that as we have increased numbers of people, regardless of, you know, where they might be coming from, any sort of movement of people, increasing contact of people would increase the risk of transmission and subsequent infection with COVID-19. One example, you know, is just, you know, we have other increases in a number of our counties, and it's not necessarily due to, specifically due to tourism. So I think the important focus is really on individuals taking the proper precautions to make sure that they're decreasing their risk of potential transmission, whether that would be as they're going to the grocery store or they might be out at a state park.
Next question.
Benjamin Chase with the Plainsman in Huron.
Go Go ahead, Benjamin.
Just curious with the LSI numbers, do you guys have any numbers yet on close contacts, or is that still employees only?
The numbers that we provided are specifically employees. So 74 employees of that LSI Jack Link facility.
And do you have the recovered at this point?
So we have 25 that have recovered from the 74 cases. And then for DEMCODA, I'll just go ahead and give that in case we have a follow-up question, is 125 of 154 DEMCODA employees have recovered.
Okay, thank you.
We have time for a final question.
This is Joseph Barkoff at the Capital Journal, please.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Good morning, y'all. Thank you. And easiest question of the day. Are you still at 841 of 853 for Smithfield?
Indeed, we are. 841 close contacts have recovered. We're still waiting for and hoping for those individuals to recover from their illness.
Yes, copy that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. Just a reminder, there's no briefings on the weekend, and we will join you here again on Monday. Thank you.